This is Truth of Life coming to you live on Real Power Network. You can also listen to this program on www.realpowerradio.com/home. In order to convey to mankind such knowledge which gives them a clear and intelligible conviction of the working of God in his justice and love, I have written the work In the Light of Truth, which leaves no gap, contains the answer to every question, and clearly shows to mankind wonderful are the ways in creation that are upheld by many servants of his will. But God alone is holy. Words of Abrushin, author of the Grail Message. Good evening and welcome to Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on a work In the Light of Truth, the Grail Message. The Grail Message is a new spiritual revelation of the truth given to mankind by the author Abrushin. It explains the will of God, which manifests as the adamantine and incorruptible laws of creation. This message does not bring a new religion and is intended as a torch to guide all serious seekers to the light and their longed-for height, which is paradise. It is addressed to honest seekers only, for only such shall find. I am Dr. Tunde Agboola. A reading from the Grail Message is now brought to you. The author of the Grail Message says, and I quote, "Free yourself from all darkness. He who makes no effort to grasp the word of the Lord aright burdens himself with guilt. For your guidance, the bandage falls and belief becomes conviction. Liberation and redemption lie only in conviction. I am addressing honest seekers only. They must be able and willing to examine this objective matter objectively. Religious fanatics and irresponsible enthusiasts may hold aloof, for they are detrimental to the truth. As for the malevolent and non-objective, they shall find their sentence in the very words. The message will strike only those who still carry within them a spark of truth and the yearning to be true human beings. To all such, it will become the shining light and staff. It will lead them unswervingly out of all the chaos of the present-day confusion." The following word does not bring a new religion, but it's to help all serious listeners or readers find the right path, which leads them to the longed-for height. Only he who bestirs himself can advance spiritually. The fool who uses extraneous aids for this, in the form of the ready-made opinions of others, walks his path only as if on crutches, while ignoring his own healthy limbs. But the moment he boldly uses all the abilities which lie dormant within him, awaiting his call to help in his ascent, is employing the talent entrusted to him in accordance with his Creator's will, and will easily overcome all obstacles that seek to divert him. Therefore, awake. Genuine faith lies only in conviction, and conviction arises solely through an inflexible weighing and examining. See to it that you stand truly alive in the wonderful creation of your God. Abdushin. What seek ye? What seek ye? What is all this tumultuous agitation? It permeates the world like a ferment, and a flood of books overwhelms all peoples. Scholars pore over ancient writings, investigating and pondering until spiritually exhausted. Prophets arise to warn, to predict. Suddenly, from all sides, people strive feverishly to spread new light. Thus it rages now over the troubled soul of mankind, not refreshing and invigorating, but scorching, consuming, absorbing the last vestiges of strength still left to the afflicted one in this gloominess of the present time. Here and there also a whispering is heard, rumors of a growing expectation of something impending. Every nerve is restless, tense with subconscious longing. There is seething and surging, and over everything lies a kind of ominously brooding stupor, fraught with disaster. What must it bring? Confusion, despondency, and ruin, unless a mighty hand tears asunder the dark layer that now envelops the terrestrial globe spiritually. With the slimy tenacity of a dirty morass, absorbing and smothering every ascending free light thought before it has become strong. With the gruesome silence of a swamp, suppressing, disintegrating, and destroying every good volition even in the bud before any action can arise from it. But the seeker's cry for light, imbued with strength to cleave through the mire, is turned aside and dies away beneath an impenetrable canopy, assiduously set up by the very people who think they help. They offer stones for bread. Look at the innumerable books. They do not animate. They only weary the human spirit. And this is the proof of the barrenness of all they offer. For whatever wearies the spirit is never right. Spiritual bread immediately refreshes. Truth revitalizes and light animates. Simple people must surely despair when they see what walls are being built around the beyond by so-called psychic science. Who among the simple is to grasp the learned sentences and strange expressions? Is the beyond then intended exclusively for psychic scientists? They speak of God. But is it necessary to set up a university in order, first of all, to acquire the abilities to recognize the conception of the Godhead? To what length will this mania, which is mostly rooted only in ambition, drive them? readers and listeners stagger along like drunkards from one place to another, unsteady, not free in themselves, one-sided, because they have been diverted from the simple path. Listen, you despondent ones, lift up your eyes, you who are seriously seeking. The way to the highest lies open to every human being. Proficiency in learning is not the gate to it. Did Christ Jesus, that great example on the true path to the light, choose his disciples among the learned Pharisees, among the scribes? He took them from the simple natural people because they had no need to struggle against this great delusion that the way to the light is hard to master and must be difficult. This thought is man's greatest enemy. It is a lie. Thus, turn away from all scientific knowledge, where it is a question of what is most sacred in man, which must be fully grasped. Leave it alone. For science, being a product of the human brain, is piecework and must remain piecework. Consider, how should scientific knowledge acquired by laborious study lead to the Godhead? What, after all, is knowledge? Knowledge is what the brain can conceive. Yet, how very limited is the perceptive capacity of the brain, which remains firmly bound to space and time. Even eternity and the meaning of infinity cannot be grasped by a human brain, just that which is inseparably linked with the Godhead. But the brain stands silent before the incomprehensible power streaming through all that exists, from which it derives its own activity. The power receives, as a matter of course, every day, every is the activity of a brain, the basis and instrument of science. And this limitation naturally also affects what it produces, hence all science itself. Thus, science thus indeed subsequently help to elucidate, classify, and arrange all that it receives ready-made from the creative power which precedes it. But when it seeks to assume leadership or offer criticism, it must inevitably fail, so long as it binds itself so firmly to the intellect, that is, to the perceptive capacity of the brain, as it has done hitherto. For this reason, erudition, along with those who adjust themselves to it, always remains clinging to details, whereas each man carries within himself as a gift the great inconceivable whole and is fully capable of attaining to the noblest and highest without laborious study. Therefore, away with this needless torture of spiritual enslavement. Not for nothing does the great master exhort us, become like children. He who bears within himself the firm volition for what is good and strives to give purity to his thoughts has already found the way to the highest. All else will then be added unto him. This requires neither books nor spiritual strain, neither asceticism nor solitude. It will become sound in body and soul, freed from all pressure of morbid pondering, for all exaggeration is harmful. You are meant to be human beings, not hothouse plants, which through one-sided cultivation succumb to the first puff of wind. Awake, look around you, listen to your inner voice. That alone can open the way. If not the dissensions of the churches, the great bringer of truth, Christ Jesus, the personification of divine love, did not concern himself with creeds. After all, what are the creeds today? A shackling of the free spirit of man, enslaved of the divine spark dwelling within you. Dogmas that seek to compress the work of the Creator and also his great love into forms molded by the human mind. This indicates a dishonoring of divinity, a systematic disparaging. Every serious seeker is repulsed by such things because they prevent him from ever experiencing the great reality within himself. As a result, his longing for the truth becomes increasingly hopeless. And finally, he despairs of himself and of the world. Therefore, awake. Shatter the walls of dogma within you. Tear off the bandage so that the pure light of the highest may reach you undimmed. Then your spirit will soar aloft in exaltation, jubilantly sensing all the great love of the Father, which knows no limitations of earthly intellect. You will at last know that you are a part of this love. You will grasp it easily and completely unite with it, and thus gain new strength daily and hourly as a gift, enabling you to ascend out of the chaos as a matter of course. End of quote. Just listen to a reading from the Grail Message. This is Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on a walk in the light of truth, the Grail Message. Copies of the Grail Message are available on Grail Land, Eju East, Lagos, Grail Centers and Grail Information Centers nationwide, and also at major bookshops. Public lectures are also organized from time to time. You are cordially invited to a public lecture based on the Grail Message. Date, Sunday, 23rd February 2014. Venue, Kelvin Spice Kitchen, Alagbole Roundabout Lagos. Topic, the new covenant. Time of lecture, 4 p.m. At the lecture, you'll be free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. Now, we come to the interactive segment of this program. For genuine seekers who may wish to interact with us, the telephone numbers to call are 0705-298-0298. Again, 0705-298-0298 or 0805-944-1123. Again, 0805-944-1123. And for your text messages, 0803-315-7493. Now, we have some text messages here. You said animals cannot turn to humans, and humans cannot turn to animal. Then how did the rod or staff of office of Moses turn to snakes and also those of the magicians? Well, let's try and explain what actually happened in this case. Moses was preparing for his mission. He was in the wilderness getting prepared for the mission for which reason he was incarnated. Then at the appropriate hour, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and then told him that he should drop the staff he was holding. He wanted to teach him something. And he dropped it. And in the eyes of Moses, it seemed to turn into a snake. And the angel of the Lord told him, this staff is for you the will of God. Do not ever leave it. If you do, it will turn into the serpent, which will coil around your leg and may destroy you. Then he told him to pick up the staff. He picked it up and the snake is turned to staff. So it's a picture that was given to him to teach him some lesson. In actual fact, the staff cannot actually turn into snake, but a higher being can create a picture in the minds of someone so that to create that which he already want to say. Even also, the angel told Moses to put his hand under his cloak. He did. When he removed it, he turned leprous. And he told him, you are to clean the body of Israel and make it clean, pure. So that was exactly what happened. It's not that actually the rose turned into a snake. It was a picture given to Moses. All right, we have a caller here. David is calling from Ipaja. Hello, David. Hello, David, are you there? Hello. All right, let David call back. The numbers to call again, 0705-298-0298 or 080... All right. Okay, David is there. Can you repeat your question, please, David? Can you repeat your question, please? Repeat your question, Mr. David.
Yes, my question is this. So I went to a program yesterday, and the man of God said that this is for financial breakthrough. And all the nice people are coming out and giving testimony. So I said that they came to church with that money, but at the end of the day, they opened their pocket and they saw money. So say that they're talking, they put hands, they saw money. I want to know, is God putting money in someone's pocket That's what I want to know.
All right. Of course, you yourself know the answer. This is not possible. So don't let's dwell on that. All right. Now let's go on to another question here.
Yes.
If a crime suspect is convicted to death and executed, does such soul also suffer in the beyond? What happens to an innocent soul that was convicted and executed in error? Now, when somebody is executed as a criminal, whether he will continue to suffer in the beyond depends on, first of all, what is his own state of mind. Was it rightly or wrongly executed? And after the execution, or in the process, what led to it? Does it show bitterness or hatred towards those who have executed him? A lot depends on how that person is state of mind and how he stands. And of course, you know that the earthly laws are diametrically opposed to the laws of the Almighty. It is only when the laws that we make on earth are in harmony with the laws of God that when somebody is punished according to earthly law, that he will not also be punished before the divine laws. But unfortunately, today, these two laws are not in harmony. So, when somebody is now executed, if he takes it with a measure of acceptance, and then he will move on. He will move on in the beyond and continue his the development. But if he is bitter and becomes very hateful, he will also be attracted to those regions accordingly. Okay, we have Nnamdi from Port Harcourt.
Yeah, I want to ask.
Yes.
Hello?
You are on, Nnamdi.
Yeah, what?
Oh, sorry. Go on.
What causes one to eat in that dream?
What causes one to eat in dream?
To eat in the dream.
All right. Now, I am not an interpreter of dreams. I do not, listen to the radio for the response. I do not interpret dreams. But one thing you must also know about dreams is that you must distinguish between the genuine dreams and false dreams. The genuine dream is that one in which there is no exchange of words, and yet the participants are understanding each other. All right, we have Mr. Ebenezer calling from Ibadan. Ishagam, all right.
Iba.
Please, lower the volume of your radio set.
Okay.
All right, go on. Go on. Yes.
That you answer, and I don't appreciate the answer. But what was your point, sir? About 8 years ago, I was told to go to Mandy for prayer by his office. I said, I've been so enjoying. I'm really Uber. And that if I get to that Mandy, I may see why that man will pray out of the day. I have to bring the man that way to pray on the journey for me. Or is it the prince? Or is it the man thing? I told the man, I get in the journey to pray for me. To pray on the line for me. But the man said, we start the journey. I will not see that as long as the as I'm reading by the king. What I saw was in a course, in a long course, iron course. The boss of the boy is that.
Please lower your voice. We cannot look. Your voice is too loud on this thing. You can't actually get exactly what you are trying to say. When you are speaking, don't speak too loudly. We are not hearing exactly what you are saying. So there is no way we will be able to answer your question. Well, we cannot hear you properly. Or alternatively, you can send a text. All right. So concerning the text message from if somebody was wrongly executed, what happens if an innocent soul was convicted in error? If he was convicted in error, those who committed the error will also have to pay for their error. Because before the laws of the Almighty, ignorance or error is not an excuse. The person that has been executed and those who are involved in making the error, there will be a link, trace, linking all of them together, so that when eventually they too pass into the beyond, they will now come together and try to do reparation in such a way that they will now have to get compensation and forgiveness from each other. Because the laws of God, it does not take into consideration that I am acting on behalf of the state. It is what I have been told to do, and I'm only carrying out orders. Before the laws of the Almighty, every individual, every person is personally and independently responsible for everything he thinks and does. He cannot stand in his office. Under the protection of his office, he is responsible for everything he does. So that's how it is. But again, everything also depends on the motive behind what everyone does. If the motive is evil, you also reap accordingly. All right. Another text message here. The Jews do Thanksgiving sacrifice for forgiveness. Is this still valuable today? What is your view on slaughtering of animals at Ileya Festival? One thing we must know is this. It is better to obey than to do sacrifice. The laws of the Almighty does not take into account such matters. The laws are very strict. What you sow is what you reap. If you sow good, you will reap good. If you sow evil, you will reap evil. The sacrifice cannot be a substitute for the consequences. It is absolutely impossible. And so we must learn to recognize these laws and then adjust our own lives accordingly. Now another question here. Is it true that hell is a burning fire? Well, one thing you must know about such things is that the torment of hell is like the burning of fire. The souls that sojourn in hell torment themselves to excess. And the torment is real. Because they are of the same spiritual gravity, and they are living in the same environment, they suffer each other to excess mutually. As a result of that, their guilt does not increase. Indeed, that place is the only place where such a soul may have the opportunity also, eventually, to recognize himself as he is, to start to feel disgust about himself, and then to wish for a place that is different. And eventually, he may then pray for help, and help will come to him. All right, we have another caller. Mr. Kingsley is calling from Ikeja. Hello, Mr. Kingsley. Hello, Mr. Kingsley. Mr. Kingsley, are you there? All right.
Yes, sir.
Yes, go on.
I'm really happy to get you this time around. Yeah. I've been trying all this way. Please, I want you to explain this very well for me. There are two questions there. I heard you have said something about them, but I want you to share more light on them, please. Just explain it very well for me.
On what? On what?
So, number one is that, is it possible for one's blessing to be taken by somebody else? Okay?
All
you
right.
Get that?
Okay.
Then secondly, what is the possibility? How can we communicate with the dead? Is it possible to communicate with the dead?
Okay. Now, to the first question, whether it's possible for one's blessing to be taken by another, it is not possible. So, do not listen to what these other people are saying, that somebody takes your blessing. It is not possible. See, everything that we do, whether it is in our thoughts, in our words, or in our deeds, everything that we have sown will take on form. And this form is peculiar, specific to the nature of the thought or of the word or of the action. This form, which is not something you can see with our physical eyes, is linked by a thread to the producer, that is, to the person who has sown. It is through this thread that the form that has taken on shape is fed. It is through this thread that the form grows, because as long as you continue to indulge in that particular thing, either the thought or the word or the action, and when the form has grown to a certain extent, it is attracted by other forms from which it starts to receive strength and power. And when it is harvest time, it is through this same thread that it will reach the person concerned without fail. It will never go to another person, because the laws of God are perfect. So it is not possible for another person to reap the consequences of what somebody else has done. It's absolutely impossible. And concerning your second question, we'll take that after taking this call from Mr. Okwa in Chagamu. Hello, Mr. Okwa. Hello, Mr. Okwa. All right, now back to the second question by Kingsley. How to communicate with death? It is only left to those who have the gift of mediumship. There are certain persons who have that ability to do that, but it's nothing so peculiar. It's not something that one can be afraid of, or because it's also a natural thing to those who have such ability to speak or to see those who have departed. All right, Mr. Emenike is calling from Port Harcourt. Hello, Mr. Emenike.
Yes.
Yes, you are on. You are on.
Can I speak with you?
Yes, go on, please. You are on air.
Okay, my question is the difference between animal and human being.
Animal and man. Okay. The animal...
Hello?
Yes, listen to the radio for the response. The animal has soul, but man has spirit. The real core of man is spirit, but the core that animates the animal is a soul. That is the difference between... between man and animal. The origin of man is in the spiritual kingdom, in paradise. Whereas the origin of the animal is in the region that is called the realm of substantiality. The animal does not have the element of the spirit within itself. And so they are of completely different species. While man, as the if he has completed his development, will return to paradise, the animal will return to the realm of substantiality, which lies below paradise. All right, Mr. Preye is calling from Port Harcourt. Hello, Mr. Preye.
Yeah, can I hear you? Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, I want you to, my question goes like this. The first one is this. You said something about concerning the former act of money, that money appeared in people's pocket. He said it wasn't possible. I believe with God all things are possible. So I want to show this scripture. Now the place in the Bible, Jesus asked his disciples to go catch a fish, and they found money in the mouth of the fish. I want you to align that with that scripture. And then the second one is this. I want you to throw a little light on the scripture that you quoted while teaching. You said something about the purity of a child, that the Bible says that except he be like one of these, he shall know whether that take it on heaven. So I wanted you to throw more light about one of these issues, and are we to act as children, or is it their heart, or what about you to just give me the meaning, the meaning behind that scripture.
All right, okay. Now, to your first question concerning money appearing in pocket. See, you do not ever imagine that the Almighty is arbitrary in his actions.
Please.
That is not correct. That is not possible. Then you do not have the right faith in God. The right faith in God must start with the fact that you must know that the Almighty is perfect in his activity, in his laws. And you must never compare the Almighty Creator with an earthly king who arbitrarily repeals sentence that is passed by his equally arbitrary judges. That is not the Almighty. That is human being who will do this today and then change it tomorrow. But you must start from the premise that the Almighty is perfect. Therefore, his laws are perfect. These laws, they don't change. And as a result of that, things are run according to how the laws are. So it's not possible for money you did not put in your pocket to just appear there. That they are only fooling you, they are only trying to deceive you. But it is only those who want to be deceived that will also be deceived. We'll answer that question, the other question, after taking this call from Prince in Port Harcourt. Hello, Prince.
Hello,
you are on, Prince. You are on.
Okay, I'm on, huh?
Yes, please, go on.
Okay, actually, my question goes this way. How can a man know all the forces that rule the universe, and how can he make use of them? And then, also, where can he get his knowledge? You need through science or from any other spiritual source?
Now, the knowledge that is available... Yes, listen to the radio for the response. The concerning how to know the forces of nature. In creation, we have been given knowledge, and that knowledge is what we are now sharing with our fellow men. That knowledge is a new spiritual revelation of the truth. It is called the Grail Message. In it, you will find all questions answered. You will find everything that you need to know. Any man who does not know where he comes from, what he is, where he is going, cannot talk of conviction in the Almighty Creator. As long as there is one question that still remains unanswered within man, he cannot talk of conviction. And hence, the need for this new spiritual revelation of the truth called the Grail Message. And for those of you who are in Port Harcourt, you can get copies of the Grail Message in the Grail Center at Omachi Guest House Road, which is opposite Romo Okoro Police Station in Romo Odumaya. So you can go there and get copies of the Grail Message. Yes, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, Raymond is calling from Shasha. Go on.
Hello?
Yes, go on.
Yeah, I want to ask about this purgatory. To throw more light on the issue of the purgatory.
All right, purgatory. Purgatory is a all right. is a term that has been used by some, but it's nothing more than the fact that when we leave the flesh, there are many regions in the beyond where people are given the opportunity to also advance, to also develop, to also make amend. So it is also a place, there are many regions there. As long as man has the good volition, yes, there are also places where in his good volition, he's given the opportunity to correct his errors, to correct his mistakes. So those places are there in the beyond. There are many places there. When you read the great message, you find the answers there. Now back to Mr. Prey's question concerning, he said, with God, all things are possible. That particular phrase has a different meaning. So we must not imagine that it is just like that. For example, to disprove the wording of that particular statement, you can see that it is absolutely impossible. Imperfection is absolutely impossible with God. Injustice is absolutely impossible with God. And that is a fact. So don't just make such statements and say and use it to apply it and say then somebody can just put hand in his pocket and money did not put in his pocket will just appear in his pocket. Don't let anybody deceive you. Now to his third question concerning when did Jesus Christ said become like children? Become like children means think as simply as children. The complicated way in which we think today cannot lead man to paradise. Behave as children do. For example, when you see a child that wants something from his father, he will not run to the father and ask for seven things at a time. And that is what men do. When they are praying or petitioning, their petition will be a long list, shopping list. That is not how to pray. You must only petition for that thing which really, truly troubles your heart. And it's usually one thing at a time. That is another way to be to behave like children. That is, don't think too complicated. Think very simply. Be simple in everything you do. That is how to be like a child. Mr. Malam Abdullahi is calling from Agodo. Hello, Malam Abdullahi.
Hello, sir. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
You are on.
I'm on, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir. My question is that if God knows everything about man for his creation to what will end, that's my first question. Secondly, it was said that God placed man in a garden and cautioned him from eating from certain fruit. Am I correct?
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yes.
Yes. And avoid them from eating it, that when they eat from it, certain things will happen to their life. Is God aware, did he know that surely he created something that will come into that garden and convince them?
All right. Now listen to the radio for the response. Yes, listen for the response. Just listen. All right. Now, when you say that the Almighty knows everything, yes, it is true, literally it is true, but we should not imagine that the all-knowing of the Almighty is in that form. The all-knowing is in the fact that his laws are perfect. He has already placed in creation all mechanism that takes care of all eventualities so that no man who is in creation, everything that we think, for example, there are creatures that are surrounding human beings. They form a huge workshop around man, watching him. The moment he produces a thought, they take the thread that springs from this thought and they take the thread from this thought and fashion the nature of that thought, the form at the end of that thread, and ensure that at harvest time, when the fruit, the seed has grown, has matured, is returned to him. So everything that we do is recorded. Nothing goes without being recorded. No single word will go unexpired for. No single word will go without being atoned for. All right, Mr. Okenwa is calling from Abuja.
Hello.
Hello, good day, good day.
How now?
Good day, you are on.
Yeah, this is Okenwa Yeribe from Abuja.
All right, go on.
My question is this. You said that God is perfect.
Yes.
You know that Almighty God created man, and man disobeyed him by eating the forbidden fruit, and God regretted ever creating man. Is that perfection?
That is not correct. Listen. Now, the Almighty created man. He also gave him a gift, and that is free will. Free will means you are free to do what you want to do. But there is a proviso. You are bound to the consequences. That is a free will. That is the nature of man. He is given a free will to choose his ways, but he is bound to the consequences. And so, the human couple that were created, Adam and Eve, in the garden. They have a free will. And they were told, do not touch this. But they disobeyed. And therefore, they must face the consequences. But the story of Adam and Eve is a pictorial rendering of a process. The tree of knowledge, we want not to touch or eat from, concerns the fact that they were told not to overdevelop their intellect. That story was given in a form as in a way that man can understand. But today, it is now explained in details in the Grail message. Man living on earth has a tool, and that tool is the intellect, which is a tool for a spirit. The inner core man is spirit. But while here on earth is to use this tool, the intellect, to be able to carry out the volition of the spirit. But instead of man to live accordingly, he now placed all the decision on the intellect. It is like decision between the cat and the horse. You know, it is the horse that is must be in front, the cat behind. Then if that is done, then there will be smooth movement. But man has changed the order. He now put the cat before the horse. Is that not going to be confusion? And that is exactly what has happened. Man has been told that he should not eat from the fruit of knowledge, which means that he must not overdevelop his intellect, but he did. Now he is no more able to understand that which is spiritual. All right. So we are now. Let us remind our listeners the public lecture that is coming up on Sunday, 23rd of February, 2014. Venue of lecture is Kelvin Spice Kitchen, Alagbole, Ranaba, Lagos. Topic: The New Covenant. And at the lecture, you'll be free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. Now, we are coming to the end of today's transmission. For those who may still wish to interact with us after the program, the telephone numbers to call are 0705-298-0298 or 0803-315-7493. With my words, I lead to God and also to Jesus. However, in a more vital way than has been known in the past, and not as people have trimmed it, through their propensity for spiritual comfort. Words of Abrushin, author of the Grail Message. Until we meet next Sunday, I am Dr. Tunde Agboola, wishing you good evening.